This is KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep. University of Alaska Fairbanks administrators told the Board of Regents last week that they think UAF is set to become a top-tier research institution in 2030. That corresponds to the later of two timeframes the university has been eyeing since it launched the concerted push for Research 1 or R1 status. One of the goals in the UAF strategic plan is to achieve that status by 2027. The designation comes from the Carnegie Classification System, which qualifies about 4% of U.S. universities as R1. UAF is currently R2. Schools must meet certain thresholds to achieve the top tier, including spending $50 million on research annually and graduating an average of 70 PhD students each year. The Carnegie system evaluates universities on three-year cycles, with the next two of those ending in 2027 and 2030. UAF Vice Chancellor of Research Laura Connor says the graduation numbers don't look like they'll add up for the earlier cycle, but she says she doesn't think federal headwinds will impact research dollars enough to foil UAF's efforts, and that PhD recruitment is headed in the right direction.
Even in face of federal uncertainty, I don't think that that's going to be a problem going forward. We're trying to just increase the number of PhD students, and I think we're well on track to reach the 2030 mark.
UAF has a research budget more than four times Carnegie's minimum for R1, but the school needs to double its average annual PhD graduates. The Fairbanks institution had about 320 PhD students enrolled as of the spring semester. UAF administrators told the board they'd enrolled a record number of PhD students this fall and that they are continuing to look for ways to accelerate graduation. The man who died on Juno's Mendenhall Glacier last week has been identified. He was a planetary geologist from the University of Padua in Italy. KTOO's Alex Solomon has more.
Riccardo Posebon, a 40-year-old researcher, was on the glacier with two other Italian researchers. They were there to study ice fracture patterns in an effort to better understand the icy moons of Jupiter and Saturn. He specialized in planetary geology and was an instructor in the European Space Agency's astronaut training course. His fellow researchers told rescuers that Posebon tripped over his crampon and fell into a stream of water that swept him down a moulin. That's a vertical hole in the ice that funnels surface meltwater underneath the glacier. After he disappeared into the moulin, Posebon's colleagues walked about a quarter mile to the North Star helicopter landing zone on the ice. There they found Jonathan Tuttle, director of guiding and glacier safety for North Star.
They told me that their friend was the only one that had an in-reach and phone device, so they had no phones on them.
So Tuttle's team called 911 and Juno Mountain Rescue, and in the meantime, they went to try to help.
It was pretty quickly determined that the moulin that he went in, there was no safe entrance to, so we set a rope about 500 feet below to a moulin that was dry, that the water used to flood into, and rappelled down to see if it might connect and there'd be any chance at a recovery effort.
Tuttle says that once he descended about 150 feet down the second moulin, he could see it didn't connect to the one Posebon disappeared down. When Juno Mountain Rescue arrived, they called off a rescue because descending into the hole filled with rushing water was too dangerous. Tuttle called it a tragedy and says the research team was experienced in this terrain. At least one member of the research group had done a lot of technical spelunking in both rock and ice caves.
From a professional standpoint, it's pretty easy to get complacent with the hazards around you. And this was a good wake-up call to all of our staff and kind of everyone else on the glacier of just how quickly things can escalate.
Tess Williams is a spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Public Safety. She says she's not sure whether Posebon was equipped with safety gear at the time of the fall.
The information that troopers have is that he was not roped to his companions when he fell and that we don't believe he had safety gear on him.
Tuttle says Posebon's companions reported they had stopped for lunch and sheltered in a canyon near the moulin to get out of the wind. Posebon's colleagues at the University of Padua declined an interview, but highlighted his gentle and generous character in a news release. One colleague who was not on this expedition, Francesco Suaro, wrote, quote, "Riccardo was a brilliant researcher with a limitless passion for geology. He was also a generous person who was always willing to share his expertise with enthusiasm and infectious happiness," end quote. A European Planetary Science Society, of which he was a member, reports that he is survived by a wife and young son. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
Red king crab fishermen in Southeast Alaska are getting a competitive commercial fishery this year, the first since 2017. It's a low-volume, high-value fishery. The crab can bring in over $100 each. State regulations require at least 200,000 pounds of harvestable crab in order for a commercial opener to happen in the region. And for years, stock estimates have repeatedly fallen short of that. But not this year. Instead, over 211,000 pounds of crab are available for harvest. That number comes from surveys done by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. They check crab stock in several bays to see if there's enough to allow a competitive commercial opener to happen. Adam Mesmer is a regional shellfish biologist for the state.
Even for some of our survey areas, we set more conservative harvest rates for a couple of our areas than we have in the past. And we still reached that 200,000 pounds.
He says they were preparing for a smaller commercial fishery with new regulation changes that the State Board of Fisheries approved earlier this year. But when they surveyed the bays, they found enough crab had grown to actually allow for a competitive opener.
I knew when we went out on the last survey that we needed at least two of the three bays that we surveyed that trip to be good. And we had one that was exceptional. And showed a lot of promise for the future. And then the next bay was just as good.
Mesmer says compared to doing a smaller conservative fishery where permit holders would get assigned catch limits, this competitive opener allows more crab to be caught.
So you're talking catching 65 to 70,000 pounds of crab compared to 200,000 pounds of crab.
Mesmer says this year's fishery will be managed bay by bay. Some areas will stay closed, some will have predetermined time allowances. Others will be managed in season, with call-ins requiring fishermen to report their daily harvest to managers, similar to the Golden King crab fishery. He says the department will announce more information about the upcoming fishery, like which areas will be open and when, within the next couple of weeks. And a U.S. Coast Guard crew rescued a hunter after he broke his leg on a hunting trip northwest of Sitka on Friday. In an interview with KCAW, Public Affairs Specialist Alexandria O'Brien said around 9:30 a.m. on Friday, the Coast Guard received a notification from a hunting party of four near St. John Baptist Bay. Using a two-way messaging inReach device, the group told the Coast Guard that a member of their party fell and injured his leg. A helicopter crew from Air Station Sitka launched shortly afterwards to retrieve the injured hunter. The hunter was responsive when retrieved around 10:30 a.m. and flown to Mount Edgecombe Medical Center, where he was treated for a broken leg. O'Brien said the hunter is in stable condition. O'Brien said it's important that hunters keep multiple forms of communication with them, especially since cell phone service can be poor in remote rural areas. And it's getting harder for Alaskans to afford a place to live, whether that means buying a house or renting. That's the main takeaway from this month's Economic Trends magazine that focused on mortgage and rent prices. Alaska Public Media's Ava White has more.
When adjusted for inflation, monthly mortgage rate payments around the state are the highest they've been in over three decades, according to the report. And the increase has been dramatic. In 2024, the principal and interest payment on a typical mortgage was roughly $2,300 per month, 75% higher than in 2021, according to the study. Gunnar Schultz is an economist with the state and co-authored the report. He says that much of an increase is unusual in a relatively short time frame.
We had a full decade of relatively low mortgage rates during the 2010s. And we had even lower rates during COVID. But I think that combination of low rates, prices bid up with limited inventory, followed by steep rate increases is what led to that big jump.
That price surge doesn't include other expenses like utilities or property taxes. The report says a 20% down payment on a single-family home in the state increased by $25,000 since 2019. That combination of soaring mortgage rates plus inflated down payments have widened the gap between renting and homeownership in recent years. In Anchorage, the report says it costs almost $900 more to buy than to rent. The study shows one-third of Alaskans rent, though Schultz says they don't know how that number compares to prior years. But he says there are some general trends when it gets more expensive to buy a home.
When the cost of home buying rises, specifically talking about mortgage costs, more people will rent. I mean, just because those things are substitutes. Some people that would have bought a house if mortgage costs were at more typical levels, will not buy a house because of where they are.
It's getting more expensive for renters, too. Throughout the state, rental prices jumped almost 5% this year, almost twice as high as the nearly 15-year average of 3%. That continues a trend of higher-than-normal rent increases that have become common since 2021, spurred in part by a tight housing market. The low vacancy rate gives more power to landlords to raise rents, the report says, because renters don't have many options. The Matanuska Susitna borough saw one of the highest increases in rent prices compared to the year prior. Schultz said the area has a unique situation that could be contributing to the hike.
They have something that lots of other places don't, and that is they've had consistent population growth. They also have had the most building of areas around the state.
Schultz says it's hard to say what rent prices might look like next year because of market uncertainty. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Ava White.
And in Juneau right now, it is currently 58 degrees and overcast with rain on the horizon. Tonight, we've got a chance of rain with a low around 52 and an east wind at 5 to 15 miles per hour. And there is more heavy rain in the forecast through the rest of this week, with highs hovering around 60 degrees and lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in. For more news, head to ktoo.org.